You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boys, John Lee.
Oh, and Jack Coughlin.
And welcome to another episode of Courtside, a Clips Nation podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Norman Powell's injury, recap the Clippers' impressive 3-1 stint in their last four games, and throw down the next weekly wager. But first, please enjoy our interview with a very special guest. He is competing in the three-point contest at NBA All-Star, Clipper favorite, Luke Kennard. All right. First, Luke, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time to do this. You've been having a great season so far, and it's brought you up to this point. So first question I got to ask you is, who's your biggest threat in tonight's Mountain Dew three-point contest?
There's a lot of good players tonight. But I mean, first off, I'm just excited to be a part of the Mountain Dew three-point contest. I mean, it's been a dream of mine to be a part of something like this. I grew up watching these events. And to be a part of it, you know, something special, and to be back home in Ohio means a lot. So I'm excited about that. But I don't know, there's a lot of tough competitors out there tonight. I know that they're gonna be coming after just as hard as I am. And you know, maybe we might throw a little trash talk out there with each other, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm going for myself as a favorite. You know, I'm competitive, so I'm gonna go try to win it.
We're going for you as the favorite too. Just want to let you know.
Hey, you're the Vegas favorite, so we're hoping for you
okay.
Out for us.
I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I gotta ask. Probably the highlight of the year for you, maybe even the whole team, is that Wizards comeback where you're down 35, you make that comeback, and you hit the deep bomb of a three, and then the 4-point play back to back to win it, which was Clipper fans. I know we were screaming our heads off at home watching it. What was going through your head during that unbelievable sequence?
I mean, it was definitely one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of. I mean, we were down, 30, 35, you know, one of the highest comebacks in NBA history. So, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we just took it a little bit, at a time. And, when it got down to the final few plays, I knew I had to get up a deep three, there towards the end. So I threw it up there and ended up going in, and that gave us a chance. And then once we turned them over, coach called the play to come to me. So I knew I was getting the last shot, and I knew I had to try to find a way to get it up. We thought they were going to foul, but it came in late, and I was able to get one off, and it went in. And it was just a crazy time. I don't even know what was going on at that moment in time, but it was a lot of fun. Definitely one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah, I love your reaction after the 4-point play. You got all hype, but then you kind of focused in for the free throw. Like, the camera cut to your face, and you were back to serious mode to hit that free throw.
Yeah, man, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little nervous about that free throw. I mean, so I was like, okay, just calm down. I still got to make the free throw. Like, we didn't win yet. I still got to make the free throw. But I'm like, you know what? This free throw has to go in, just with everything that's been going on. So cash it in, and we got out of there with a win.
love it.
Yeah, Luke, it seems like everyone on this team really genuinely gets along and wants each other to succeed. How much do you attribute that to how well you guys are doing without Kawhi and PG?
Yeah, I mean, we have a good group, man, like a good group of guys that really like each other and really have fun with each other. And you know, I think even last year we dealt with injuries like in and out all year, and guys stepped up. And I think like that from last year, it kind of built a lot of confidence in guys and allowed guys to get better. And it's showing this year even more. I mean, myself included, I feel like I'm having a pretty good year, and you know, we're enjoying it. I mean, yeah, it's been an up and down year a little bit. I mean, we've won 30 games, which is big. And we've lost some really close games that we feel like we could have won. But, you know, just credit to our entire team and coaches just trusting in each other and continuing to learn and just have fun with it. But it is going to be really fun when those guys get back, whenever that is. We're definitely looking forward to it. But I think it's when those guys come back, it's just going to take us up, obviously, an entire different level in a good way. So we're excited about it, but it's been a good year and a lot of fun with the group that we have.
Totally. And you said you've been having a great year this year, which is absolutely true. How has your confidence changed from that first game you played with the Clippers last year to where you're at now, getting buckets for us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you get traded to a new team, I mean, it was my first time getting traded, obviously. But it's different. I mean, it's an adjustment. You got to try to figure out, you know, what your role is, and you got to learn everybody, learn a new system. You know, coaches, teammates, there's just so many things you got to learn. So, it was definitely a process just getting comfortable with everybody and trying to figure it out. But, I think, you know, I had some big moments last year as well. And, I learned a lot. And then this year, just having that mentality of just doing what I do and just what my role is, just scoring the ball, shooting the ball, and being really aggressive offensively. So that's just kind of been my mentality, and just going into the year, not knowing what was going to happen, just have fun with it and continue to just to be a good teammate and a true professional, and just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This year, I think we've seen a jump, but it doesn't really seem like you're doing anything that's out of your comfort zone. I feel like you work really hard off ball to get your shots. Ty Lue runs a lot of sets for you, but you've also shown the ability to work a screen, create your own shot off the dribble. So my question is, should Ty Lue give you the keys to the offense for the second unit and kind of unleash you and give you more on ball responsibilities?
I mean, Ty Lue has been great. I mean, he's been great. I mean, even since the start of training camp this year, like, we'd be in drills, and if I turned down any type of shot, like, with just a little bit of space, he'd pull me out of the drill, and, like, he wouldn't let me play. So he just, like, early on, he really built some trust or like, some confidence in me to be aggressive and shoot the ball. So that definitely helped me from the start of the year, I mean, until now. And once I got comfortable in games, just shooting difficult shots, I mean, that was another thing I worked on this offseason, was, like, crazy different footwork, coming off screens, working on different types of shots that were pretty difficult. Because as a shooter, you attract a lot of attention, and guys don't try to, like, leave your body that much. So getting as much space as you can is really important. So it's something that I worked on. And you know, I have fun with what we're doing now. I mean, Ty Lue is always trying to learn and trying to add new things to our offense. And, you know, we're right there with him. We trust in him and what he's done. I mean, he's obviously one of the best coaches in the NBA. And it's fun to play for a guy like that.
Were there any other coaches on the coaching staff or any players on the team in specific that have really helped you in gaining confidence or playing better or whatever it is?
Everybody, man. I mean, anytime I pass up a shot, like, I mean, I feel like I hear it from everybody. So I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, it kind of not annoys me, but you know what, like, all right, I'm not passing up any more shots. So, I mean, this last game that we just had, I mean, I felt like I was pulling up from, like, almost half court a couple of times, like where I was catching the ball and just letting it go. But that's what they want me to do. Maybe not half court, but, like, you know,
not half court, but you can pull from
half court, but, you know, a couple feet behind, they're cool with. But yeah, you know, it's just my mentality. I mean, my teammates, coaches, they trust in me, and they'll never get mad for shots that we take. That's the only thing they get mad at. They tell us, like, if you don't play hard, don't, you know, you have to have effort. And that's been our mentality. We don't care about missing shots. You know, you're going to have on and off nights. So we just got to focus on what we can control. And that's about it.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much time we have. I'll just close out with this. Oh, what are some of your goals to end this season?
I mean, we're going to take this All-Star break just to, you know, kind of get a little rest and recovery. But then we told each other, you know, after our game in Houston, like we want to come back and hit the ground running. Like we want to come back and start winning some games, maybe put together some streaks, some winning streaks. And we know we have some difficult opponents coming up, but we just want to take it game by game and just continue to grow, you know, with the group we have. We just want to continue to work together and have fun with it. And we want to win. We want to be in the playoffs. And, you know, if somehow some of our players can get back from injuries, you know, that would be a huge boost. But with what we have right now, our goal is to make it in the playoffs and just go as far as we can. And but game by game, like I said, we just want to, like I said, get some wins and just continue to enjoy what we got going on.
I'm good. Thank you so much, yep. Luke. I think we're good. I appreciate you coming on. We're huge fans of you, so keep up what you're doing.
Thank you, man.
Good luck.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to that very special interview. We hope to have.
And thank you, Luke.
Yes. Thank you, Luke. We put a lot of money in you, bud. Don't let us down. Anyway, let's recap the past few games. Let's start off with the Dallas game that Norman Powell did not play in because he suffered a fractured medial sesamoid bone in his left foot. But nonetheless, the team did not need him as the Clippers still won 99-97. Reggie Jackson had 24 points and 8 assists. Marcus Morris had 20 on 9 of 18 shooting. Terrence Mann had 21 points and 9 rebounds and was just great in those past two games. So, Jack, between that game and the game before, what's really stood out to you from that home and home? Oh, it's not a home and home, is it? Between those two games in Dallas.
Yes. Well, the adjustments on Luka were great. I thought Ty Lue just got super creative and started throwing different players on him each time down. He was just matching up Zubac right away onto Luka, which was, I feel like everyone was shocked to see that. We thought he'd get creative, but we didn't know he'd get that creative, but it was smart because usually in that first game, Dallas would run sets to get Zubac onto Luka. Then Luka would, you know, do his magic and score. But when Zubac's on him right away, they're like, wait, we don't even need to run sets. But then they're just running ISO ball every single possession. Luka's not even passing. He's just doing ISO. And so it kind of messed them up a little bit and had them a little bit confused. So I thought that was pretty smart. And in the first three quarters, Clippers did a solid job on Luka. He wasn't getting, to his spots as much. And we were forcing a lot of turnovers on him, especially in that third quarter. The defense was really, really well. Fourth quarter, he definitely had his way, though. He went off in that fourth quarter to lead them back and make it a super close game. But the first three quarters, those were the ones to be happy about. But yeah, Reggie did great, especially at the end there. He had a big straight, like 5-point play on one possession where he scores an and one, misses the free throw, and then hits a three. Morris also did great. And something about Luka, it just unlocks Terrence Mann. They got their infamous beef that dates back to their first time ever playing each other in the preseason, I believe, or the summer league, whatever it was. And so he went off for 21 points and 9 rebounds. I was happy to see that. Super stressful ending. Luka gets the ball off the inbound and Reggie just kind of leaves him. There was kind of a defensive miscommunication, but he was super far back. So he takes a dribble in and then still does a step back, but luckily it airballs and we were able to secure the victory on that great Saturday night. And we could all go to sleep happy.
Yeah. I did like that strategy with Zoo on Luka. I thought that really threw them off their sets. He even noted it in the post game before that. But first, Jack, what's the I'm drawing a blank. What's the where's that place you go where you see the animals? You know what I'm talking about? It's
the zoo?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. And then what's that? What do you call like a machine, but it's like a human? It's like the Will Smith
robot
movie. Yes. So what's like the first word I said and then the second part of that second word you said.
Zubat.
Yes. One day you'll learn. Anyway.
Masterpiece.
Yeah. Yes, it was a great game. I love seeing Terrence Mann out there. He's a dog. He was picking up Luka. He was making plays. He was aggressive downhill. That trade deadline, I think, really set him, set a light under him. I think he's feeling the opportunity is there for him to take that backup point guard spot. I still think the Clippers need one, but he's going to be really good developmentally. Ugh, sorry, I can't talk. Developmental-wise, from that move. So shout out to Terrence. But ever since that trade, he's been on a heater lately and just a lot of great effort plays, like a lot of confidence. He's really sure about his decisions. So shout out to him. Let's carry that over into the Warriors game where he had 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. Steph kind of exploded in the first half. He had 33 on the game. Reggie also had 19 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. In my opinion, it was a good win. I don't know if it was a hangover from the Super Bowl from the Warriors that affected their play, but I kind of looked at those two games, the Dallas and Warriors games, as the Terrence Mann standout of the season. What's your opinion on that Warriors game or Terrence Mann as a whole?
Yeah, that was a great game. I had to rewatch it. I wasn't able to watch it live, sadly, but I was able to rewatch it. And
that's why we
sometimes
won.
Exactly. That people on Twitter have let me know that I am indeed a curse, but I still think it's a myth. But T-Man, oh my goodness, late in that third quarter, in that fourth quarter, he was just able to get any shot he wanted. He was going to that mid-range pull-up, hitting threes, taking it all the way. The Warriors certainly lack size, especially without Draymond. So when they were going small and taking out Kevon Looney, it's only Bielitsa in the paint there. So he was abusing that and just getting to the paint at ease. And, you know, that's kind of one of the Warriors' main flaws. So it was good to see us exploit that. Certainly missing Draymond that game, but I mean, we miss Kawhi and PG every single game. And then now we miss Norman Powell every game. So it was just a great team effort, though. I feel like all these wins we get without Kawhi and Paul George, it's just, you know, it's varied scoring. It's not just one guy doing everything. It's usually numerous guys. And yeah, Terrence Mann, amazing. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. But even Reggie chipped in the 19 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. It's just great team wins whenever we get one of these. So I was really happy to see that. And yeah, Terrence, man, that Dallas game must have just woken him up because he's been putting on a show every game for us now.
Yeah. T-Man was also a plus 25, only second to Reggie, who was a plus 27. But yeah, I don't know if point guard is the position for him, but I think Doc Rivers said when he played Terrence Mann at the point, he said right now he's just a basketball player. And I think that's the right description for him because he's a 2 and a 3 and has like the hustle to get offensive rebounds and rebound like a 4. So I don't know if you can put him in a box. I think we see improvement with him every season. What I like about him is that he still has that pull up, his mid range. I don't really like the step back off one leg, but he has hit it a couple of times, but the thing I think as fans love seeing is that he's being decisive. He's shooting with confidence, no hitch, no thinking, no hesitation. Even in the Utah series, he would hesitate a little bit, even in his best game. But I think this development, this is what Clipper fans, I think, thought they were going to get from him to start this season. And it took some time, like 60 or 50 something games to get there, but better late than never. And shout out T-Man. That's just a great way to get on.
Out to his mom on Twitter.
Yeah. His mom's great. Yeah. She's a coach too. So I know she's on him too. So also shout out Reggie. I think Reggie in the past few games has just been a great playmaker for them. People keep saying they want a true point guard, but I think Reggie's there. Like he makes plays. Flaws are a little more in the spotlight with no stars around him. And the team has enough depth for when the stars do come back that you don't have to play him. But I think Reggie is still the true barometer of this team's success.
Totally.
Yeah, he can operate a pick and roll. He's catch and shoot. He can hit tough shots, contested threes. I don't really care sometimes when he gets like blown by or something on defense, because he's gassed clearly every time I see him play, and you could tell that he's just carrying a heavy load. But that's kind of what I want to lead into with this Suns game. In that fourth quarter, it kind of felt like they couldn't take him out because they didn't have a point guard to really stabilize that offense. And so Ty Lue had to play the entire fourth. I don't think he was that bad. He was a plus two. He had 14 points, but he was 7 of 26, but he also had 8 assists. I don't disagree with him, with Ty Lue taking him out in the fourth, even if they think the shooting cost them the game. They kind of had no choice to keep him in there so someone can make plays. But that Phoenix loss, in which the Clippers lost 103-96, Marcus Morris had 23 points on 10 of 17 shooting. Nico Batum had 18 points. And we saw some nice quick release threes from Nico. Seems like he really comes out when the Clippers play some real contenders. Jack, what's your opinion on Reggie Jackson on these past few games and his importance to this team?
Yeah, you know, he's doing all that he can. You know, he's putting in 100% effort, and he's been doing well. Of course, in that fourth quarter against the Suns, he played the whole quarter. And towards the end, you could tell he was getting a little tired. He still hit a couple big shots. He had a big floater, a big layup. But, yeah, he had a couple lazy turnovers. And then, you know, it's tricky defensively too, especially when you're tired. And Chris Paul was just – he was putting on a show down the stretch, as he usually does. And then also just real quick, that Nico Batum quick release three where he just doesn't even dip the ball. He catches it above his head and just throws it up and it goes in. That was unbelievable. Like, that's ridiculously difficult, especially for NBA three. So love you, Nico. Thank you for giving us that special highlight for basketball junkies that, you know, most people wouldn't really understand. But yeah, and then also Marcus Morris, I thought he was great. 23 points, 10 to 17 shooting. Some people were getting on him for his defense, but you know, it's hard. It's not like every player is perfect. Sometimes just no one can be perfect. So he's putting on these buckets, but it's like we're not expecting him to be Kawhi Leonard on defense or anything. So it's, you got to keep that in mind. But he's gonna get you those buckets on the other end, and that's what he does for us. So I was happy to see that. But yeah, Reggie, we all know who he is. Without the guys, without Kawhi and PG, sometimes he's off, sometimes he's on. But with Kawhi and PG, as you know, being the guy behind them, we see it. We saw it in the playoffs. We saw what he can do, and that's the Reggie that we're holding on to hope for hopefully when those guys come back.
Yeah. One more thing on Marcus Morris: the types of shots he was making that game, to go 10 of 17 is kind of ridiculous. If you just look at what he did, like I think the Jay Crowder, the one over Jay Crowder in the left corner, where his dribble was dead and he had to do a couple turnarounds and he did a fadeaway, was like one of them. But
oh yeah, he loves contested shots.
Yeah,
he's unreal.
He's power forward J.R. Smith at this point. Like,
and then Reggie is point guard J.R. Smith at this point.
No. I don't. Is he?
He likes those contested bailout shots, like in the playoffs too.
Okay, the bailout ones, yeah. I think he loves the bailouts, but I think yes, in a regular half court set, he won't just shoot a contested three because he wants to shoot a contested.
Okay, three. So but he likes like the end. He likes the end of shot clock, just grenades. You just get it tossed to you, and you got to throw up something.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's why he's big government. Shout out Fly By Night, newest Clips Nation.
Oh yeah, member. Welcome to Clips Nation, Russo, Justin yeah. Russo.
Yes. But yeah, that Suns game, really, it's still pretty cool how they were in that game, given that the Suns are the hottest team in the NBA right now and are a favorite to win. So that's great to see from those guys. And then sometimes you can't just stop a great team like that, especially Booker did well, but that team's just a unit. So it's encouraging to see them keep up with them, even without Norman Powell, Kawhi PG. So that was really encouraging. Let's go on to this Rockets win, the 142-111 thrashing.
Ooh, 142. Say that again, John.
The 142-111 thrashing of the Houston that's a lot Rockets. Of points. Yeah. Low-key, I was pretty disengaged from this game from the start. The Terrence Mann dunk woke me up a little bit. It's good to see the guys get into rhythm or like stay in rhythm. Marcus Morris at 27. But I think the story was Luke Kennard, who had 25 points.
Oh, he is ready for that 3-point
contest. Yes, on a career high 8 of 9 from three, right before the All-Star break. This is the day, I think it's the day or 2 days after he was shown as a favorite on the betting lines to win the contest. And I think even after this game, it's going up even higher. So, man, I know what you should do with your money. Jack, is there anything is there anything you would take away from this game? It doesn't seem like much because the Rockets are a 15-win team. I really don't know. I don't think coaches even like go over these types of games. I don't know if they go over film, but is there anything you would take away from this game other than it's just like a good team win, way to not lose focus right before the break?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not you know, as much as other games like the Warriors win and the Dallas win, but you got to play who's in front of you. And to win by 30 without Kawhi, Paul George, and Norman Powell is still pretty unbelievable no matter who you're playing. And this team without Kawhi and PG has not had a lot of blowout wins at all. Usually they're getting blown out and they come back, or it's a down to the wire, or you win by like 7 or 8 or 9. But we won by 31. This was just a blowout cruise control victory. We got up early and we kept playing and we held the lead and extended it even more, especially late in that third quarter. And oh my God, Luke Kennard was just letting it fly from anywhere this game. He was just treating it like a warm-up for the 3-point contest. He wasn't caring about playing team ball, this, that, and nah. He was just warming up. This was just, they texted him, they're like, hey, we got a warm-up 3-point contest tonight. Don't even worry about playing. Just get a good warm-up in. So he's ready. He's ready. And yeah, Marcus Morris again continuing his consistent play with 27 points. So yeah, just a great team win. Just showing that this team without our main guys, they're finding their consistency. They're not just having to crawl and scratch away to get these wins, comebacks. They're just winning blowouts now. Like, we don't have to come back, we don't have to go down to the wire, we can just be in cruise control for a whole game. But yeah, maybe the Rockets were just kind of in LA ready for All-Star weekend, trying to get out of this one, but you got to just play who's in front of you. So I was proud of the team to handle this one easily.
Yeah, and then the next four games are kind of weird. It's Lakers on the 25th on a Friday, then you got Houston on Sunday, Houston again on Tuesday, and then Lakers again on Thursday. We'll go deeper into the Laker game a little bit later, but it's good to get that first win. I think when you blow out a team like that, it can kind of give you a little mental lapse in the next time you play them. And then even after that, you got to play them a third time. So, and it's not even like you're playing a playoff team. You're playing a team that's in the lottery. So you have to really keep your focus. So I think it'll be a good test for them as far as your discipline.
Yeah, teams with nothing to lose, like the Rockets, like,
yeah, they can just play free. Yeah, they
play free. You never know, Jalen Green or Kevin Porter, someone on the team, Christian Wood, they could just explode and go off one game. But how about that Reggie double ankle breaker where he sends, was it Garrison Matthews, I think, into the other, his teammate, and they just both fall on the ground?
Yeah, I was surprised ESPN posted that too. Usually they're not with
that. Yeah, they don't show us too much love.
That's been slow. Sports day for them, but
it was Garrison Matthews into Christian Wood, and they just both hit the deck.
Yeah, that's a good vibe check win. And then I think the most interesting thing about that game was Pat Beverly sitting courtside. I don't know.
Oh yeah, how do we forget to touch on
a true courtside clip? Like, what a guy,
banger!
What a guy wearing a Visa Zubats like triple XL jersey.
That's the best part about that. He wore a Zubats jersey, like. What a guy, man.
Clearly didn't fit him. Just he couldn't have asked him for what do you think, Pat, in XL? Like, can you just ask for that? But man, that's so awesome to see the man that changed the culture on All-Star break. Literally, the Clippers are most likely going to play them in the play-in, and this man is coming to the team that that trusted him, that gave him the contract extension, that loved him when he changed the culture. That's probably one of the main reasons why PG and Kawhi joined. He comes back in Rusamon. I think that's the best. To me, it may be more of a fan of me that took that away more than the actual game itself. But I thought that was really awesome to see. And it's going to be a tough stretch coming. Or no, it's not going to be a tough stretch. It's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what happens after this, because the next time the Clippers play on the 25th, Paul George would have had his MRI on the 24th. So by the time we have our next episode with you guys, we could have some substantial Paul George news. And maybe, I don't know if that affects Kawhi potentially returning too. We don't know. We'll have more for you guys on that one next week. But for right now, let's take a quick break, and then we'll go into our weekly wager right when we come back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, guys, and we're back. And since me and Jack have really enjoyed this segment, we're going to come back with another weekly wager. This time, we are going to talk the Laker game and put some stakes on it.
And I lost the last one, so I gotta clutch up with this one.
Yeah, but we're 1-1 because I lost the very first one that Marcus Morris would be traded. Not that so I wanted to be traded. I just thought
I was close to winning the Luka one, though. Like, he didn't get to over 30 until late in that fourth quarter, and then he just skyrocketed even more points. But
yeah, for
I was like feeling good for a little bit, especially that first half. I was like, this is possible. But no, he definitely got over 30 that game.
No, I think this is good. I think this will help our gambling addictions. So
perfect. We love that. We do. Yeah.
So the next time the Clippers play will be the Lakers next Friday. On the 25th, the Lakers will be the home team. They're not gonna have AD. He has a midfoot sprain. He'll be out for a little bit. So the wager for Jack and I this game will be, who will have more points on the Clippers, Reggie or Marcus Morris? Who do you want, Jack?
I got to take Marcus Morris. He's had more points than Reggie against the Lakers the last two games. He's been on a little hot streak here. I am nervous because Reggie will have those games where he just explodes and he'll get more than Morris. So I'm a little nervous, but AD being out, I do think helps Morris's case here. So I'm sticking with my boy Mook.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go deeper and counter you with, I think because AD is out, that they're going to focus on Morris even more at that four matchup, because in my opinion, he's technically the primary scorer for the team. So I believe that's going to open up more opportunities for Zoo, T-Man, Nico, Amir Coffey, Reggie, etc. And I think that Reggie is going to get his. I also think he's going to be high in assists too. I'm expecting a big game from Reggie next week. How much you want to put on it?
Ooh, what did we do last time? 15 or 20 or 10?
We did 10. We can't be doing 20, bro. We're not like that. Okay, you may be like that. I'm not like that.
Should we go in the middle at 15? We can do 10 again. We can do 10.
Let's do 10. Let's do 10. I'm a broke boy.
Okay. I feel like if it was points, rebounds, assist altogether, I might.
Oh, no, you're going Reggie all the way if that's what it is. I also think Reggie is going to ride on the high of his game winner against them, or the Lakers are going to be more focused on him because of that. It can go either way, but I'm going to go with Mr. June, big government.
I'm feeling good about Mook. I'm feeling good.
I think he's been great lately. So we'll see. I'm curious to see what the Lakers do with that lineup. I don't know if they have LeBron on him, it will be a little tougher, just from a physicality standpoint, but Mook can still get his shot over. But I still like Reggie against their guards. I think Avery Bradley would give me the most concern, but I don't know how much they're going to play Avery Bradley that game. So I believe that should about do it for this episode.
Let's check the most important part of these Clippers podcasts, are you excited for Euphoria Sunday?
Yes, Jack, I'm excited. I'm team Maddie.
I'm still team Maddie too. I like her.
Maddie's going to whoop Cassie. It's not a question. It's no. I'd put more money on that than I put on Reggie right now. I gotta stop gambling.
I wonder if there's a site where there's like euphoria bets.
No, there's not. We're not gonna find it. We're not gonna go too deep. It's just a show. We shouldn't even be mentioning it on a weekly.
It's more than a show. It's nope. Way more than a show.
Nope. We have to stop. We just stop right now. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you appreciate all the work we put in. We appreciate all the support, everything you guys do to let us know how good the episodes are, how bad the episodes are. We haven't heard yet, but we need some critique eventually. But thank you guys as always for supporting. Once again, Jack, where can they find you on Twitter?
Jack Clippers on Twitter. I love all of you.
And then I'm John at Courtside_Clips. You can find our editor, Clippers Content at Clippers Content. Once again, thank you guys again. Enjoy the long week without basketball. Get some rest. And as always, go Clips.
Yes, sir.